following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Your host, Mark Torres, speaking. Along with me in the studio, I have Charlie Saladino sitting next to me.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Charlie.
I have Hassan Godwin sitting
close to us.
And I have Herman Sinocchio from Parts Unknown, actually in the studio today. Say hi, Herman.
How you doing, guys and girls?
Actually, Parks Unknown.
Parks Unknown?
Yeah.
Herman has his FM DJ voice on.
Yeah.
Please stop.
Very well.
All right. That can end.
So I'm guessing Herman today has his clean underwear on, right? And he's finished with whatever alien abductions that has
been plaguing
him for the past couple of months.
Yeah, but I'm not sitting down.
Checked out by security at the door.
Good. I love making fun of Herman. Let's make fun of the movies that's coming out.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on our live audio streaming.
Or also dead, on dead audio.
Dead audio
stream.
They just be. that's not a good show to listen to. Also on the GB website, we have the in-studio webcam, so you can see us right here live, waving high, 10-second intervals.
Boo.
And then we also the phone number here is area code 718-631-888-8811.
How many times have you done this? How many times? A thousand times.
At least over 100.
Not to mention, it's right there.
Yeah, I know. That's what I always use.
Yes, the phone number.
Refer to the graph. Refer.
Pay attention to all the sounds.
Yeah.
All right. And let's see what
people
else.
People are complex.
I always forget to mention that on our site, www.itcamefromradio.com, you can always have the live chatting with your fellow listeners. I always forget to mention that.
So yes, chat live with your fellow listener.
But not us. If you want to chat with us, you got to call.
No, yeah. And we won't respond when you call, because we don't pick up numbers we don't get. We don't understand.
We don't pick up numbers we don't get. If you don't call,
I know.
You won't.
All right, that was a mess up.
Yes, I know. And I capitalized on it.
If you call me and it says restricted, I'm not going to pick it up. Sorry. So, reveal your number when you call.
I saw a demon last night.
And that would be it. Did he call you on the phone?
No, I saw it. He has, double eyes, on top of each other.
He has
hair.
Double eyes, and, everybody else has a single eye?
Like, eyes in the cheekbone, and he was grayish looking. And I'm off that stuff. I'm not doing that stuff anymore.
Was this in your living room and his door?
No, was it the Sunrise movie theater?
Those egg creams are dead.
Jackson Whoop.
What, he was in, really?
Yeah.
The movie theater we went to now?
Full of hair, like Cousin
I'm going home.
That's where it was.
I'm going home.
See, now we know why he hasn't been in the studio for so long. Hang out with his buddy.
Put this thing in
the movie. Where did you see it?
Last night.
Where?
Last night.
Like a split second.
Last night, there you go. In the theater that he works at.
In the theater.
In the projection room. In theater 8.
You can't be all specific.
At Sunrise? Really?
Yeah, this thing was evil.
That's what he said. Sure. I'm going to take
I think it was a guy with, big hair. Big
no,
baby's hair.
Full covered hair.
Full covered hair.
Cousin It. And he had double eyes.
Eyes and long hair.
What time? Were you up
what
in the projection
9:30?
What is this fascination with whatever hallucination?
Because I worked there.
How much energy has seen?
I don't want to see it.
You don't need to see it. You'll be all right.
What if I do see it? You know what? Do you know why any ghost has not revealed itself to me?
Why?
In the entire time I've been alive. Because I wouldn't survive it. I'm going to say that out loud on the air.
So the ghost...
I'd be like, that would be it.
What if it was a spider ghost?
You're making it worse.
A spider ghost.
A giant spider ghost with a clown ghost riding on top of it, right?
Oh, yeah. The clown would have just... clowns and dolls.
I think my reaction to that would be like...
No, Victorian dolls. You don't like Victorian dolls.
I wouldn't stop. They'd put me away. 20 years from now, I'd be in some like padded cell somewhere giggling.
You would look like the face in the ring where they got all distorted after they saw the...
Yeah. My thing would be the clown and the doll. My thing would be the Ralph Cramden croak. It would be the humming on.
Yeah.
That's
it.
The big giddy sip.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So now let me take it away with
you. Don't have to do news today. Do news
actually,
next week.
No, we have good news.
Do news next week.
The news this week is that there won't be news this week. No, we have good news.
Mom, take it away with
you.
If you
do this news next week, it'd be old news. Yeah. It would not be the news anymore.
Well, it could still be news. It'd just be old news.
Yeah, it's news you already know.
Yes.
Stuff
you
already
know. The world's coming to an end, Saturday.
It's not really news.
Notre Dame is.
Alrighty, so first and foremost, we have a contest. What I like to always call the easiest contest in the entire world. We are giving away free 2 pairs of passes to the New York Wizard Comic Con, which is coming up this weekend on the 21st and the 22nd, Saturday and Sunday, to the first caller. So we'll give away 1 pair to each caller. So one person, first 2 callers to call in, we'll get free passes to weekend passes for Saturday and Sunday to the Wizard Con.
You get that, folks? No questions. You just call in. You don't have to answer anything.
We'll make a test.
Well, you have to answer what's your name.
Oh, you have to know your name. You don't know your name, forget it.
I can hear them all now rushing to the phone.
Oh, yeah, really. Yeah.
I must have a ticket for this.
So, yes, the Wizard Con is May 21st and 22nd, which is this Saturday and Sunday, with special guests. I'm going to mess up her name again. Marina Bakarin. From V, James Marsters from Buffy and Hawaii 5-0, Christiana Locken, who was the Terminatrix, a very attractive and tall woman, and the voice of Kim Possible herself, Christy Carlson Romano.
She was also, what's her name, Painkiller Jane. You keep forgetting to mention that.
Yes, she was.
And that's more comic booky than Terminatrix? Yeah.
Well, that's
not really what she was. She was Terminator in Terminator 3.
No, she was the Terminatrix. That was her name, the Terminatrix. That's what it was.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, terrible. In addition to those guys, we'll have, you know, tons of dealers and traders and tons of comic book guys, a lot of which that we know personally and are good friends of the show. Mm. So they'll all be there, so if you want to come.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a party.
It's going to be a good show.
It sounds like it's going to be an exciting ride.
So we'll take the first 2 callers at
631-888-881.
Yes, the ghost is pushing your chair to... for some reason. Alrighty, so moving along.
So a demon last night.
Moving along.
You know, when Herman actually told me that he was coming, I was really excited.
Happy,
yeah.
And then you realize, oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm backpedaling on that emotion right now.
Alright, let's see. Armie Hammer, best known for his role as
Mr. Winklevoss in
Social
Network.
Yes, look at that.
The Winklevoss twins.
Has been tapped to play the title character in the upcoming Lone Ranger movie, where he will be
playing. Hey, who's he going to play?
He'll be playing the Lone Ranger.
They refer to that as the titular character.
The title character?
Titular.
Oh, all right.
It's the proper derivation for that.
Be very careful. You make it just one word, otherwise the FCC is going
to
be on our
side. Yeah, fight. I have to run through the whole thing really quickly.
He's the lead.
If I pause, then we get sued.
He will be joining Johnny Depp, who has been cast as Tonto. So that'll be coming soon.
Johnny Depp is Tonto?
Johnny Depp is going to be Tonto.
Oh, good.
I hear the sound of many protests coming from the Native American community.
All 6 of them. I can say that. I'm Native American. Again. Wait a minute. Is it a comedy?
As far as I know, it's supposed to be a very serious movie. That's as far as I know. This is the only
I don't think it's going to be because...
they had a movie to Lone Ranger.
First of all, Johnny Depp is much older than Armie Hammer. And I can just kind of picture this as some kind of like reverse mentor situation where Johnny Depp is Tonto, is actually teaching.
So it's going to be like the
Lone Ranger.
Like Green Hornet.
Yeah. I bet you it's going to be something like that. I have this sneaky suspicion.
Well, that's the way it was in the original sources. The Tonto character taught about tracking and all that sort of thing. And keep in mind that the Green Hornet was written by the same people who wrote The Lone Ranger and originally was supposed to be his nephew.
See? So there you go. No, that's not a speechless.
I'm not speechless. That's never happened. I made a face.
Except when you're accosted
it's just
by
like
a,
that. It's radio, not TV.
Ghost,
they can't see
a ghost spider riding a clown.
It's just like it hasn't happened yet.
It's just like when the Indians were surrounding Lone Ranger and Tonto. And
oh, you were there?
The Lone Ranger said to Tonto,
this is
going to
go bad.
What are we going to do now? And Tonto says, what do you mean we, Kiwasami?
No, it's what do you mean we, pale face.
Yeah.
By the way, a little bit of trivia for you concerning non-Native Americans who have played Tonto. In the original radio serial, I don't remember the guy's name, but the guy who played Tonto was actually an Irishman. And they say he used to go to sleep while the show was actually on the air. And they'd have to give him a little kick to wake up and give his line.
Take it easy.
And if he got lost, he just used a sort of a coverall line to go, get him up, Scout, which is, you know, Scout was the name of the... So occasionally you have situations like, all right, Tonto, I need you to leave the saloon now and go get the sheriff. Get him up, Scout.
Which means...
He's riding his horse out of...
Scout.
Yeah, he's riding his horse out of the saloon or whatever.
It really means line in Irish. Line...
Well, somebody once told me that they did a search because the term Kemosabe was actually made up for the radio show, and someone bothered to do a search to see if it in any of the Native American languages it meant anything, and the closest they found was, I think it was in Ugala Sioux, where it meant old gym socks.
Yeah, I remember hearing one of those old radio shows, and this had to be the guy that was playing him, because they must have kicked him, and he went, all right, show's over, Kemosabe. Let's go to the watering hole. Get him up, Scout.
All right. Give me the Irish whiskey, fire water.
That was funny, Mark. That was funny. I know you lost a credit card, but like, have a little uppity.
Speaking of casting news.
Mr. Segway.
Michelle Williams. Oh, you're doing that now?
Only when you're not expecting it to happen.
All right. Michelle Williams has been offered the role of Glinda the Good Witch in Oz, the Great and Powerful.
No such animal.
Which is Disney's prequel-ish take on The Wizard of Oz, which stars James Franco and Mila Kunis. And it is being directed by Sam Raimi. Rachel Weisz is also in talks to play the sister Evanora, E-V-A-N-O-R-A,
hey.
The evil witch who wants to rule the land and tries to seduce
the old one.
His character to the dark side.
Would this be Disney's version of Wicked?
Maybe, yeah. There you go. That's
leave it to Disney. They're right up there.
Trendsetters.
That's one of the biggest plays out there, so let's try and make money off of it.
Right.
So cash.
Yeah, without actually paying the people who wrote the original.
Charge M. All of M.
So, speaking of Disney.
Mr. Segway, speaking of that Disney man.
Hey! Stepped on my line.
We were expecting it this time.
Sorry, take it easy.
In 2013, provided the world isn't in, James Sully Sullivan, voiced by John Goodman, and Mike Wazowski, voiced by Billy Crystal, will be headed back to theaters in Monsters University, the sequel to Monsters Incorporated. But this one will be set back in their college days before they became best friends.
Oh, God.
Wow.
They're even doing animation prequels.
What's going on?
Wow. Really?
The idea pool is dry.
Yeah.
It is dry. It's like cracked. It's like,
they don't even try.
It's like Serengeti.
They don't even try. I mean, I could put that demon in a movie.
This is the demon that's haunting Herman. The haunting of Herman's.
I'm going to stay away from you. I don't want to see that thing.
Stay tuned for Theater 8, the 9:30 demon.
Wait for it. Okay, it's half past.
All right,
here it comes.
Oh, here's something about some...
So, wait, it's a prequel to a CGI movie.
Yes.
Okay, that's
which
great.
Which is shown in Disney.
Because the kids really understand prequels. No, see, you understand. This is all stuff that happened before the stuff that happened. Yeah. After the stuff that happened, before the stuff that happened, before.
Well, that's how you're going to explain it to them?
That's how they would explain it to their mom.
That's
Mom?
Well, I do the X-Men.
You didn't let me finish.
University.
But it's not a cartoon.
It's a prequel. The prequels are getting dumb.
I don't consider CGI movies.
Prequels are dumb.
You don't consider CGI movies?
I don't
movies
consider
movies.
CGI those creations considered to get a movie rank. I'm sorry.
They shouldn't be called movies. So
no,
when,
they should be called movies.
What was the movie that the Oscar nominated one?
I don't
Beast,
care.
When Beauty and the Beast got
I don't
nominated.
Care.
Like, that just can't be
no, right. I was half drawn.
It's all right. So CGI is bad. But
I don't consider they shouldn't get a movie rank.
Right.
They shouldn't get a movie rank. I'm all sorry.
Right. All right. Geez, I have no segue.
They're not movies. They're so-called facades.
The so-called facades.
Yeah.
What if they use CGI
Wait,
in Planet
you
of the Apes?
Have a so-called facade.
But it's not an animated feature.
Huh? What if they use CGI?
I'm
in
talking
Planet
about
Apes?
Animation.
So
oh,
they
okay.
Made, so wait. So wait. 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 What about the cartoon? Planet of the Apes. So they're gonna probably make an animated feature that's computer generated for the new movie that's coming up, because that's the new thing. Just like they did with Tron.
Well, I don't care.
Well, now it's different. Now everything is
well,
alright.
If they're gonna make
right. No,
I an animation,
I don't
consider CGI is animation.
I don't consider people. I consider artists that draw like the old animation, like Snow White and Little Mermaid and all that stuff, whatever, right? But I can't fathom.
He can't advocate.
No, I can't believe that five guys sitting near a computer and they think they're talented and the computer's doing all the work. I'm sorry.
That's a valid argument.
Don't be sorry. It's America. You have your
that's
own.
That's a very valid argument, actually. I'm gonna say that for Herman's
opinion. Pain's sake. I mean, look at Ray Harryhausen.
Or Herman Sinertia. That's
did you say Harryhausen?
No, Ray Harryhausen painstake move. I'm pulling out stop motion animation.
I'm making
now.
Fun of him.
I know. Right.
So don't.
It's a sniper. It's a sniper from far away.
Tom, can you agree a little bit on that with the artists that are putting the artists out of work and all that stuff?
Well, no, you're right. They're putting the artists out of work. I don't agree that you can't call it a movie because the actual artistry in this isn't actually in the hands of the people who do the cells. It's with the writers and the people who come up with the original concept. The artists in this case, whether they be wielding paintbrushes or computer keyboards, are basically just tools to the end at this point.
Yeah. But you consider
well, no, I
you consider a painting from Michelangelo
but he's saying
equal
is
to
that
like a
you
a,
have a valid point.
Right.
That's what he's saying. You have a valid point, but he doesn't agree with the entirety of the statement.
Right. In other words, I don't think that a still from a CGI movie compares an artistry with a original animation cell. However, that I do think that the stories are comparable in terms of either they're good or they're bad, and their art or their tripe.
Right. Well, all I'm saying is that these are binary codes. They're not.
We got you. All right. We got it. Charlie, you wanted to jump
no,
in?
No, no more.
All right, Charlie doesn't want to jump in. All right. Moving along. It has been revealed that Transformers.
Who revealed it?
Sorry. Mr. News Guy. Yeah. Mr. News Guy.
He will not reveal his sources, damn it.
Tell us, Mark. Who told you these wonderful stories?
Well, we'll talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It has been revealed that Transformers Dark of the Moon will not feature Mudflap and Skids, the quote-unquote urban robot.
Oh my God! Why?
They're
trying to be politically correct. The bleeding heart liberals got into this one too. Go ahead, continue.
I like those bleeding heart liberals. Because my God, that was the most infuriatingly insulting thing I've ever seen
that's
in my
what
life.
I had a go to.
I almost took my shoe off and threw it at the screen. I like
the whole
my
movie
shoes.
Infuriates you.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. But that was one of the worst. The only other thing was the clanking apparatus underneath the Devastator, which you know exactly. That was that and Bumblebee micturating on one of the main characters.
You could spend 8 hours on all the bad parts of the movie.
But I'm so happy. Does the movie explain the mysterious absence of these two characters?
No, it just says that Michael Bay decided not to put them in there. But when originally asked about it.
Him. Someone should ax him.
Making movies.
Asked about the axing.
Yeah.
He says, "We're just putting more personality into the characters. I don't know if it's stereotypes. They're just robots, by the way.
Well, we got new writers.
These are voice actors. This is the kind of direction we were taking the characters, and we went with it." That was what he said about the two characters.
Yeah, because the Screenwriters Guild screenwriter's strike, the writer's strike happened at the same time, so that they had these knuckleheads come in and write their dialogue.
After the movie was
yes.
filmed. Yeah.
I just think they had another job in Cars 2.
Alrighty. So, speaking of things that are not going to be seen,
Mr. Segway.
It seems that Wonder Woman will not be turned into a series after all. This week, when NBC announced its new fall schedule, Wonder Woman was not one of them. In a late addition to that news, it seems that Warner Brothers is still shopping the show around, so it may make its way to your TV
Sci-fi
set
channel.
Eventually. I know Charlie has a couple of...
It seems to me two things are happening here. You have this David E. Kelly, who has his intervention in this whole thing of what Wonder Woman should be now, without considering what Wonder Woman is about. He's being egotistical, and he's saying, oh, I'm amazing, and this will work. Well, obviously, David E. Kelly, it didn't work. It was ridiculous. Stick to the original plot, and don't blame the actress. Right, don't blame the actress, and don't blame the costume. Okay? You made a terrible choice. You made, anyway. That's it. I'm just aggravated.
Well, he's just pulling the whole I'm a director thing.
Exactly.
But, you know, a lot of people didn't even see
the costume does look
really
pretty bad, though.
Yeah.
I will say that the Linda Carter Wonder Woman costume looked a lot better.
Right.
A lot
but
better than that.
A costume does not a great series make.
No, that's true.
I'm told that the plot... the writing, it was like it was done by a board of chimpanzees.
Yeah. And it's not even Diana Prince anymore. It's Diana, this amazing Greek name, which is on page 6 in my notes. But it's a Greek name, and I'm giving it to Mark to say. Listen to me. And,
Hey, this is actually, this name is part of the Wonder Woman world. It's a Themyscira. How's that, Hassan?
Medusa.
Am I close?
No.
Well,
Ligeia. Medusa.
I have no idea what the name is. Don't show it to me on
it's,
this.
You know,
it's so unprofessional.
It's the,
yeah, it really is.
No, it's the where she's from.
Oh, Themyscira?
Yes, thank you. That's actually in the...
Yeah, but anyway...
it is in the Wonder Woman canon, but they should not have used that as her last name.
I would like to officially announce that Tom Ross has coined the phrase that will be used from now on. From now on, when anything crappy happens,
I know
happens,
exactly what you're
going to
say.
It's going to be the board of chimps that did it.
Yeah.
It's the board of chimpanzees
like
that has done it.
Board of chimps.
We just got a phone call from the Association of United Chimpanzee Riders protesting that.
They would, wouldn't they?
Yes, they do not want in any way, shape, or form to have their good name associated with that stinking pileup, which they said spilled up 6 studios other than the one that was being shown in.
Did they have overalls?
Seriously, they said that pilot really stunk.
They had overalls on and were swinging wiffle bats.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this whole article that I was reading, instead of reading everything, the main theme is... If you stayed with the original story, maybe something
they can't
would have
do
happened.
That
and
can't
don't
imagine.
Blame the actress. Don't blame the costume. Blame David E. Kelly for thinking he was an egotistical genius and ruining this whole thing. The end.
Does he actually think he is egotistical? Isn't that part of him not being thinking that he's egotistical?
Yeah, he just thinks he's a genius, which
right,
makes him egotistical. But
yeah.
That's what he meant.
That's right.
That's
he
exactly
made
right.
Actually made Wonder Ally McBeal. That's
yeah,
what he
right.
Made.
Well,
a vigilante. Yeah, Wonder McBeal. A vigilante CEO of a corporation.
The problem is. This is how I see it. The problem is that Smallville, despite its shortcomings, lasted 10 years, which is one of the longest superhero comic book shows.
Congratulations.
Ever.
It
you know,
deserves
its accolade.
It's called Milking.
It just finished up its season.
Season 10.
The series. It
yes.
Finished up the series.
I saw the two-hour episode. Yeah.
Oh, my
it was ghastly. It was ghastly.
Yet, it was the highest WB show.
And highest rated?
Yeah. So
well, of course, because it's the end of a 10-year show.
because it had the WB formula.
But also,
kids. It went for the teenage market, and it caught it. That is the WB formula. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Charm, everything like that. That's what it does. This guy did not even go.
Right.
If WB had this, it would be on, and it would be a success.
That's right.
Well, it does say that they are still shopping around, and since it is a Warner Bros. Property, since it's DC Comics, they actually might wind up on the WB for probably a spring series, because you know a whole lot of shows are going to be canceled in the first two or three episodes when fall comes around, so we might. It might actually still have a chance of being made. And, you know, they might retool, they might rework it, change the outfit. And the producers did say that there were going to be three different Wonder Woman outfits, not just the one that's been plastered around the internet, but also she was going to be wearing the hot pants. That's what they said.
You know, Mark, when you say the word retool, you know why they always have to retool? Because they have tools writing and stuff.
Not the monkeys, it's the tools?
Yeah.
Monkeys using the tools?
These people are non-talent, and they just get breaks, and...
Well, I'm just saying that, number one, keep true to the...
Keep your government hands
material,
off my
material, and stop with these bleeding heart liberals downplaying the Americanization of our superheroes. They're American. They were created here. I don't care what the story's about. That's it.
She was Greek.
Well, it's still made in America is what he's trying to say.
She was here to help, World War II.
It was made, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, it was made during World War II for, you know, boosting our morale.
It was the first superhero.
The American
Wonder Woman
morale.
Was before Superman. Yes, she was.
Was not the first superhero.
The characters come up by committee as opposed to an individual creator or pair of creators like Batman or Superman. But she was one of the original superheroes, not the first, but maybe third, fourth, fifth.
Who was the first?
First was Superman. Second was Batman. Captain Marvel by a different company came in there shortly thereafter, and then at that point I'm not really sure. Then you started getting the Wonder Woman, the Green Lanterns, the Plastic Man, you know, that sort of thing. Aquaman, that sort of jazz.
The Captain America, this new movie coming out, it's got a lot of echoes of Captain Marvel. You know, he's a skinny kid, and you know, that has the
ring. That's the original, the point of it.
Yeah, he had the super soldier serums stabbed into him, and he became Captain America. That's the idea behind it.
He was supposed to be originally hopelessly 4F, and then he got the super soldier serum, and then what it was supposed to have done is it was supposed to have turned him into the most perfect human being you could be without actually crossing over the line into superpowers.
Which, by definition, would be upper limit human strength. That would be what it's called.
Well, not just the strength, but the agility and the reflexes and the senses and so forth. The absolute upper limit on all of them.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
If we keep the characters that we have, let's say like Wonder Woman, who is supposed to be from the Amazonian Islands, right? If we keep her, utterly golden age Americanized, but continue to say that she's Greek without giving her any aspects of her heritage, doesn't that turn into exploitation? Isn't that the alligator that they're wrestling with right now in order to keep, you wanted to keep the character centrally American or Americanized, but then also wanted to pay homage to the culture that they supposedly claim that she comes from.
Like Olympia.
It's a double-edged sword. It's a very hard line to follow.
I think that's what America's about. We have all different heritage, but this is our country. And she came over here to fight for us, for America.
No, but so you're saying you prefer her to be more like the old Linda Carter series than now, but to kind of modernize it.
Well, this is what I was talking to Herman about. They did a great transaction, the past to the future of the Wonder Woman series.
Right.
Because they said, let's keep her, you know, here, but bring her into the modern day. And they revamped the whole thing.
Right.
It's now, you know, the colonel's son who looks just like him, and okay. and you know, and they bought him, and they got it, they got it living for a couple of seasons, after that, which was a good
clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Clear 1980s.
But about, exactly. But they kept everything the same.
What about Galactica 80?
What?
That's
what is that?
So,
Did the demon just take you over? What was those words?
Herman's head is turning around. 360s.
I think that pit stop we just made, the Patton and Herman pit stop, is the right time to take a commercial break. So we'll be right back if it came from the radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Wonder Woman, you're so wild and wonderful, 'cause it seems whenever we're together, the planets all stand still. Barbarella, psychedelia, there's a kind of cockroach shell about you.
Barbarella, Barbarella,
dazzle me with rainbow color, fade away the color shade of living. Get me up high, teach me to fly, electrify. Above the stratosphere, bring your dearness near, till the dawn comes tumbling down.
Don't make a sound.
Every word we need comes from the sky. Can't you read my mind? Say it loud. Oh, you give me a cold shoulder. Still I'm dying, girl, to hold you and make love, love. A Barbarella psychedelia, never can a fella name or claim you. Barbarella, 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 Barbarella,
wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
We are back with Game of the Radio Show, as Mark Torres speaking, along with Charlie Saladino, Herman Smircher,
the show would be nothing without me, nothing,
Smircher, and Hassan Goblin, all in the studio today. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we are still giving away free passes to the WorldCon. The number here is area code 631.
I think those tickets are too expensive, that's why no one's calling.
Yes, they can't afford free. Everybody's so broke out there, they can't afford free.
That's too steep for me. That's too rich for my bed.
So yes, 61-888-8811 for free tickets. Easiest concerts ever. This week, since there is a convention coming up this weekend, we're going to be talking about the con survival guide, as we like to do for all you people going to the con.
All the people that called up for those tickets.
Yes, all the people that called up for the tickets. The problem is that a lot of people listen to the show in the archives, as I've talked to a lot of people, and we're actually talking to the people in the future, in the past. So that's
well, it's like space.
The best way to survive a convention is not to have been previously employed by the people running the convention in the first place.
Oh, that's terrible. So,
Game Space from my heart.
Yes. One of the things.
Small, beating black rock that it is.
Hassan, small, beating black heart. One of the things for conventions, since everybody has been to a convention, what advice can you give the listeners out there to make their convention going experience as something that's entertaining and fun as opposed to a terrible, terrible waste of time, energy, effort, and money? I'm looking right at you.
Just watching, sorry. I would say get there early, know what you want to do. Treat it like a supermarket. Go up one aisle, come down the other, and just be very organized. Because if you lose your way, you're going to wind up at the same spot again. It's like placing the stones down or placing the food down and somebody eating
that
it, and then you wind up in the same. So treat it like a supermarket. Go up and down the aisles. Get some organization about your, you know, visiting a con, and just have a lot of fun. And that's another way to see everything there, because a lot of people talk to their friends and, oh, did you see this tape? No, I didn't see it. Oh my God, it was right there. So have a sense of organization in your visiting a con. That's all I would say.
What about you, Herman? You've actually used to work conventions and you've been to conventions.
No,
you actually have friends.
I used to entertain a convention.
No, you've told me you were doing security with, what was that guy you did security in, Mr. Dollar Drift Day? What was that?
It was just one time, and some girl attacked Christopher Lee.
Oh, well, so,
you know.
But you were at convention, so what advice would you give to the person who never went to the con virgin?
Drink a lot before.
Drink a lot before.
Alcohol.
Oh.
And Patron.
You know. No, like Charlie said, you know, if the
Charlie said to drink a lot.
No, if the convention, if the conventions don't have movable aisles, you know, you won't get
those. Movable aisles. I hate those conventions that don't move around. Right? They're floating,
you just
make sure you park your hover car on the
roof. Each aisle and, you know, try to cover most you can, you know, and you know, try to look at stuff that you want to look at. First time, get all in. Don't like go back to it. You know.
Don't go back.
You know. Don't go back to if he's looking.
All right,
to buy
I see
something.
It this time. I'm never gonna see you again. See you later, buddy.
I'm talking about they want to buy like you know.
Oh, he's talking about buying stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
so if you're gonna be dealing stuff, you go around. You don't
look
come back to the
once,
same.
Right.
You know. You should come back, though. You can look for a better bargain.
There's a danger at a convention of looking all over the place and ooh, and then you see something and you say, oh, my God, this is great, ooh, wow, and you never really take a mental note where that place was.
Right.
Because then you meet your friend in the other aisle and you say, there's this great thing
where
I just saw. And you go, where is it? I don't know.
Okay, you know? The best bargains, again, is Sunday when everybody's closing up and they're packing their cardboard boxes.
Yes,
you know?
That is actually true. Like the last hour or so.
Right.
Depending on how well the con is. If it's a bad con, the chances are that the deal will start earlier. If it's a good con, the last hour. Because a lot of the dealers, they bring their stuff from, you know, convention to convention to convention, and they don't want to lug that stuff around. I remember one time at a convention I went to, they had comic books for 5 cents and 10 cents, and they were like current books. But at the beginning of the convention, they were like $2-3. So that's just one of those deals you wanna look for.
I hate when that happens.
You hate it? That's awesome. Actually, a friend of mine, he actually wound up getting like 4 or 5 cases, and he was upset. Because I was like, oh, they're 5 cents over here. Stop telling me these deals. And he had so much to take home with him. So he was upset at me for that type of thing. And Hassan, you have a unique perspective on conventions, your intimate knowledge. So what would you say for the convergence?
Crush your enemies. You see them driven before you and hear the lamentation of their women.
That's terrible advice. That's terrible advice.
That's what I usually do.
There's that guy. I hate that guy.
You know what the conventions is? It's very simple.
They don't bring weapons.
They give you, please don't bring weapons. You'll turn into the Murdplex. here's what they do. They basically, they give you a program of what's going on. You will get, usually, whatever major convention will have a website, which will tell you about the events, whatever. Check it the week before, a couple of days before you go, because, things are subject to change, people, guests back out, whatever, seminars get canceled, dealers decide that they don't want to spend as much money, blah, blah, blah. Make an itinerary of what you want to do, and then stick to it. Because basically, it's like Disneyland, you know? It's like going to the Bronx Zoo, you know, for people who are local. You can either ride on the monorail.
Crazy.
Which is the whole day.
You're local. You mean crazy?
Or, I'm not done, Herman. Or you could go and you know, go to Wild Asia and go all across and actually see the animals. Now, as a kid, I wanted to ride the monorail because it was this big technological, you know, super train, which, you know, and I wanted to ride that. And my mom was always like, okay, you ride the monorail or you can see the animals. It's one or the other. And if you act up on the monorail, they'll throw you in the lions. But, I don't know how she didn't get arrested for that, but that's my mom. So what you have to do, basically, you can go to the dealer's room and spend all day in there and spend your money in there, and then occasionally check out one of the rooms, one of the seminars or sneak previews or whatever. Or you can spend your day getting autographs from the superstars that are going to be there, which is going to consume a lot of your time. It's going to be long lines. It would behoove you to get there an hour to 2 hours before they even decide to show up so that you could get a decent spot on the line, so that you could get your autographs rather early, so that you can move on and do the next thing. So you definitely have to plan everything out, especially if you're only going to be there one day.
The worst thing to do is to spend your entire day waiting for an autograph.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
especially
God,
if you're waiting on the line.
It depends on how you feel. Like, you know, if you got a man crush on Mark Singer,
yeah,
you're going to want to spend your entire time
and it's like,
trying to get that autograph.
And it's like Herman missed his kid's birthday to spend it with Christopher Lee. You know, and he told Carol, I was a security guard for Christopher Lee. And as he came home and said that to Herman, I said, good one, Herman.
Let me
check
you, okay?
I secured him.
I was in agreement with Chris Lee, and he actually
you
said happy
agreement?
Birthday to my daughter.
Did you get that in writing?
On video, I got
that makes it all great.
Yeah,
all
some guy who has no idea who it is.
How old is your daughter?
I know, I'm a bad father because Christopher
Lee. So she knew who Christopher Lee was, right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know what? I'm a bad father because I never had Christopher Lee call my daughter up on his birthday.
Next time I'll get Ernest Thomas to say happy birthday. That'll knock out everything. Ernest Thomas, who does that?
I got Brandon Rolfe. Brandon Rolfe.
Exactly.
Happy birthday.
When you go to the convention,
to my daughter hasn't even been born yet.
Yeah, if you want to buy something at a convention, you say, right, do I really need this?
Well, the answer is no. You never need anything at a convention.
You don't even need to be at the convention.
that's you know, you don't need it.
You don't need anything at
the
convention.
How badly do you want it? You know, get a good deal. Sometimes
a lot of dealers have the same items.
Well, that's what I was getting to. If you're gonna wait, on a long line, and then you wind up finding out that the celebrity is charging for an autograph. Yeah, that's actually live for Igno. you know, it's just very disappointing. He's on the list of arch enemies.
Came from the radio. Does not condone the
bastardization of right now.
The lambasting of
hate that guy. Him and Shia LaBeouf together. You know,
Shia.
The views expressed by Mark Torres do not necessarily.
I'm just saying it was just upsetting. It was just upsetting to happen.
The whole pizza here. I got the pizza.
You want to field that question, Hassan? Why did they charge for an autograph? You don't know the
why?
Standard.
Yeah, really.
Standard
this
answer.
Is America. That's why they charge. That is the answer.
Really?
I can make a buck off of
there
it. I'm charging
here.
So that I can make money. I'm wasting my time
at the beginning.
I'm wasting my time where I could be out making a movie or doing an interview or something like that, and I'm sitting here to this. What do you want me to do?
Lou
Ferrigno has been the Hulk. He's painted green his entire career. After green people were no longer in vogue, okay, he had to start charging for his autograph.
He was Hercules. And he dubbed his voice.
Okay, that's the point. If you're saying that Lou Ferrigno is you know, quote unquote, a loser and not a loser. Whatever you said, you called him bad names, all right?
Yes.
Naturally, he's not in the mainstream anymore, meaning he's not making top dollar anymore, which is why you're getting charged for his autograph.
But the funniest thing with Lou is that I thought he was great in Hercules. Anyway, the funniest thing with Lou was that I was passing his little station there, and he had a lot of people, and he's charging this and that for but everybody was passing with a camera just to take pictures. He was making sure that he turned away so nobody would get a free picture of Lou.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, you know, which is, it was like, but he was doing it. He saw a camera and he turned very slowly.
To be honest, from the inside track, Lou Ferrigno is a piece of work. That's the best that I can say about him.
I'm not going to tell him to his face because he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's huge. He's gigantic. All he's right, 365 years old and he's still gigantic. But he is sort of a piece of work.
So basically, be ready to buy tickets to get autographs. And they have various tickets. You can get a picture and an autograph for just, you know, your firstborn male child. Yay.
But some of them, actually, you know, in their defense, what it is that a lot of celebrities, as Hassan was saying, that's the only means of support. That's how they're making money. You know, they can't live off residuals of a show 20, 30 years ago. Well, that's another thing. If there has been, they still have fan base. But, you know, they need to make money, so sometimes you can't understand it, but they can be nice about it. I mean, I've ran into a couple people who charge photographs, but they were very nice and friendly, and they give you more stuff than you ask for when running to them.
The ideal reaction to anything is a decent, polite reaction, and that's unfortunately humans rarely, really rise to the ideal. You know, when you thought you were going to make X amount of money, or when you tally about, you know, you tally the money that you spent to get there, the plane ticket or whatever to get there, versus the time you're going to spend there, versus how much money you just made off of the weekend, and that's around Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when you realize you're going to come up $200 actually short, and that if you had stayed home and ate cornflakes
and watched your highlights
and watched Top Chef, you would actually came out ahead, and then Mark Torres comes up, hey, can I get your autograph?
That's
and then you get slammed in the face because
your body slammed me.
You picked the wrong time to sidle up to Lou Ferrigno and ask him some personal questions. So it's all subjective, you know. Subjective.
Yeah, what happened? What you doing?
But anyway, I must say to set the record straight, I do not blame them for doing that because it is. It is capitalism at its finest, and they make a lot of money doing it.
Depending on how much some of them charge a ridiculous amount. I understand charging, but I don't understand bilking your fan base. You know, these are potentially the last people on earth who give a darn about anything that you've ever done or said. Yeah. And you're going to milk them for all it's worth, and you're going to have ever diminishing returns.
See, me, I wouldn't have a signing for these people who I hold dear. What I would have is you pay a certain price, and we have a barbecue in the back. And, everybody pays homage to me.
I want to lose ribs.
After all, these are the people who are going to be blogging about you after you die.
And they will do it.
He was a great cook. I was the best man ever.
Those ribs were great.
Those ribs were unbelievable.
I don't think they were actually his ribs.
Can I try something now?
Oh, boy. I wanted to throw two names, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. I wanted to mention that when I met Kristen Bell at one of the conventions, I got in there real early, and I was third on line. And they were charged. They had this big, huge security guy, you know, no pictures, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you pay for the autograph, whatever. And they were like, if you take a picture with her, you know, it would be like $50 or something. And I said, well, you know, I don't have that kind of money. Can I take a picture of you? And she says very nicely, I'll take a picture with you. And she sticks her head out and takes a picture. Very nice. That's something, you know, you look forward to. Those are the nice things. And autographs, you know, a lot of times they don't personalize it, especially because eBay was a big thing in the day, so you get an autograph, you sell it on eBay. But personalization is also a nice little thing that George Takei had done. He was the only one of the Star Trek guys I ever ran into that was actually personalizing autographs.
Me and Herman saw him on the street in the city. Remember that time?
He was dressed like a woman. No.
Stop it. Leave him alone.
Don't knock the Sulu.
George Takei. The views of Herman
Shatner does not necessarily. You can knock Shatner. Shatner's all right.
Yeah. So we're at this convention, and this is the world's famous convention that Herman wants me to tell the story constantly of me in the elevator. So we're outside, and here comes George Takei walking, and everybody he was just so cordial and nice, you know? Oh my, yes.
Yeah. Right. But then Jerkweed's like this, you know, hit him with the "What's wearing a dress," you know, kind of
say that. And he was dressed like a woman.
Which,
for the record, he wasn't.
Yeah, and then so they decide, you know, next time I meet a group of people,
call for the goal.
In their faces.
It's a joke.
And that's why.
Call for the goal. That's why they charge
us. Running. In other words, people charge us lots of money for autographs. And people treat us like crap because of people like Herman Sturgeon.
Oh, yeah, just like me.
Exactly. Know. People like you making a cheap joke. And it's not even a good
joke.
He's
a nice guy. I guess, you know,
it's Howard Stern, so everybody knew that, right?
You're not Howard Stern, Herman Sturgeon.
You're Herman Stern?
Now, listen, let's play a game of lines that Arnold Schwarzenegger might say to
How is that going to help you with the convention experience? See, that's not answering the question. How does that help with the convention experience? You don't walk up to a celebrity and make fun of them. That's another thing you wouldn't do. I'm just saying, if you would walk up to Arnold Schwarzenegger and the "I won't be back" to his wife, that'd be wrong.
The lines he might use for his wife.
But that's wrong.
No, that has nothing to do with the subject of what we're talking about.
Yes, we're talking about conventions. Man, conventions. People are listening to find out how to survive a convention.
I mean, you gotta actually pay attention to the show you're on.
He's listening to another show.
You gotta listen to those headsets. You gotta turn your headset on. Is your headset plugged in?
Conventions.
Is it plugged in? That would be no.
Money-making propositions, all right? It's has-beens that have to make money. Extra money because they can't get no more plots because they're yesterday, they're not today.
It's not all has-beens. Kristen Bell is very relevant. Let me put that on there.
Revlon. She works for Revlon.
Yeah, she works for Revlon.
Relevant.
Oh, no, but you're allowed to say that, right?
Huh?
That's not insulting. That's insulting me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would go to an old 70s convention, and I would definitely wait in line to see Rula Lenska, who has never called me yet, but that's neither here or there. But I'm sure Herman would go to a convention if Christopher Lee was going to be there.
Yeah.
You've outgrown conventions?
Are you going to the convention this weekend?
You don't need the convention.
Aren't you going to the convention this weekend?
No. How better things are.
He's lying.
Playing a wedding.
In the hallway, he says, "Listen, if you're going, I want you to get me this DVD."
I think it's a waste of time, conventions.
Why do you think so?
I think it is.
Why? Why do you think it's a waste of time?
I think it's a waste of time.
From the mind of Synergia.
It's a reality check.
You're not.
Where else would you get original artwork? Where else would you be able to meet the creators of comic books, of films, and TV? Where else would you be able to do
that? What are they going to do for you?
Well,
it gives you the stuff that you're paying for that you can't find anyplace else.
Convention's supposed to be meeting people and getting deals and getting jobs. That's what a real convention is.
So you said, what do they do for you? What does going to any place do for you? If you go into a movie, what does that do for you? You're getting entertained. You're enjoying yourself.
I got to tell you, if you fans go on our Facebook, it came from the radio, and go to my album of the 2010 Comic-Con, look at some of those pictures. That did a lot for me, those pictures.
Yes, make sure you have your camera ready and take pictures.
It's just
of
that
the tons of cosplay people
you're
out
talking
there.
On something, and then you leave. You don't have to roam around like Night of the Living Dead.
No, but you're paying.
Some of the conventions are rather large. So if you just show up,
I went to conventions since I'm 15 years old.
Here's my point. Is I'm just making a point of the point that you just made. In which case, you said just to show up and get your stuff and leave. You don't have to linger. My point is sometimes if you show up, there's a lot of stuff to see. That's why you might be there all day. That's why you might have to figure out an itinerary you want to do.
I think they don't run the conventions right in presentation. They should have a live band doing movie themes, doing...
That's the only reason.
Oh, yeah.
Herman has just the band.
His James Bond band.
Some of these conventions cost $40, $50 to get into for a day. You're going to show up, pay $40, and then go buy one thing and leave because you don't want to be loitering?
$50 for a ticket, so you should get a lot for that $50.
That's what people are there all day for.
Panels, they have neat people.
Panels,
food.
They don't get food.
Nobody gives you food.
Maybe if you pop into the con suite, they might be giving away some cheap
cheese.
Yeah,
the green room. You go to the green room.
You gotta go to the press area to get the food.
Presentation's poorly. The best presentation ever for conventions, one in Stony Brook, when it started in Stony Brook.
Oh, you mean Icon?
At the beginning, when they started.
All right.
Right? And Creation. nobody beats Adam and Gary.
I don't know. Personally, I think just because not just because of they're good friends of the show. The Wizard guys are pretty decent. They actually treat us very well, and the New York Comic Con guys are really awesome.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
We got 2 minutes left, so I'm going to do it the final thought. So, Herman, now's your chance. Final thought.
Why me first?
Because
that was his final thought. Next.
Hassan, you have a final thought.
My final thought. I really liked Herman's final thought.
Charlie, you have a final thought.
Yes, just go there, enjoy yourself, and have fun. And if you don't have fun, you live, you learn.
I say, you have a final thought that time?
Yeah, if you're staying in a room where there's more people than beds, be sure you glom onto a key. When you're looking for a party to hang out at after the events have shut down, go for the one with the biggest snack table. And figure out, and like a gambling casino, figure out how much money you can afford to lose, and then once you've lost it, don't go beyond it. Make certain you have enough money to get home on without holding out a tin cup. And oh yeah, if you have any political aspirations, stay away from ladies dressed like dominatrix or slaves. It might not be costumes, it might be their working clothes.
You're right. I didn't have a final thought.
Yes, you did. You said I don't have a final thought.
That was your final thought. We decided that was your final thought.
Oh, you had a Charlie?
Well, no.
Oh, you didn't even think I'm going to say something.
I'm looking. All right.
My final thought is that conventions are a good time to spend some money, spend some time, go see your favorite artist. Make sure you go to the dealers. You know, that's their livelihood. Help them out. Go check out the celebrities. Go check out the comic book artists. You know, we have a lot of friends out there. They're independent guys. They need exposure. This is a good place to go, a good place to have fun at. And you know, anybody who wants to send us an email to get the free tickets, give us an email at mfc_studio@hotmail.com, and I will send you the link to get the free passes for this weekend. That about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. You can join us next week right here on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go online to www.itcamefromradio.com. You can listen to our archives, which will be up in about a week. And if you can't wait that long, you can go to such places as iTunes or Podcast Planet to hear us right away. And make sure you join our Facebook page, which has all the news items from this week. We'll see you next time.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.